so we can pass it on to those scufflaws who didn't get out of bed this morning.
Praise God. Let me read you a little. Just a sentence out of here, and I believe this is where we are. It says the Word of God also reveals God's purpose and final destination for His church. It speaks of the church's progressive restoration until it reaches its full maturity and destiny in Christ. And then it has a chart down at the bottom of it. And I like the way that if the name of the chart is how do we get from here to there? From temporal to eternal. From progressive to permanent. From the mortal church to the immortal church. And from the prophecy future to the history or prophecy fulfilled. And that's a real challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for me. All of us are going somewhere. Whether we like it or not, we're going somewhere. We're on a journey, every single one of us. And the temptation sometimes in today, or it's always been, it's nothing new under the sun. That's what Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes. Nothing new under the sun. There's always that challenge to either go or just stay. And sometimes it's a lot more attractive to just stay. It's much more tempting just to hunker down. Let's just wait till Jesus gets here. Let's just survive whatever we're going through, and then it'll be better on the other side. Well, I want to talk to you about what I believe may be the most important factor in our success as we go forward. Now, when I say success, I'm not talking about success in a secular or worldly point of view. Every one of us should be focused on how to be successful in God. In other words, to have a testimony, a generational testimony that survives us. You can be successful. I'm not talking about you gathering a lot of money or gathering a lot of power or getting a good education. I'm talking about today what I believe one of the most critical factors for us successfully going ahead in the Lord, in having the success and passing on a heritage that will really mean something. Now, let me just tell you right now, I know your time is important, and I want to make sure whatever we talk about in these meetings is valuable and it's impacting and meaningful for your life. So I want to tell you, this is not a rah-rah speech. Amen? I'm not here to rah-rah the truth. I'm here to share some things with you that I believe if you receive them and contemplate them and let them become part of you, they can change your life. They can change your family's life. And I believe it can change a community and even a nation's life. So I want to read a scripture that I mentioned in the services a few weeks ago, just as a point of reference and also a starting point. So you don't need to turn there in your Bibles. I know a number of you have your Bibles, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read it to you real quick. This is from Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 8. This is God speaking to Ezekiel just prior to his commission, or really in the midst of his commission, just before sending him out to do a very difficult thing. In most cases in the Scriptures, if you go from Genesis to Revelation, in most cases, the most difficult proposition that any of us face is speaking for the Lord, saying what God has to say. If you'll go through all the Scriptures, what will get you in trouble more often than not is speaking for the Lord. There's all kinds of things we can do, but if you really want to bring down persecution, if you really want to get yourself in a difficult position, begin encountering the error of the kingdom of darkness with the truth of the kingdom of light. And that's what stirs things up. It stirs things up in families. It stirs things up in our relationship between one another. That's why it says iron sharpens iron. Because there's an inherent, natural, always present sharpness wherever truth encounters error. It's not comfortable. Amen? How many of you have been corrected? Okay, it's the Bible says a wise man loves the rebuke of a friend. But sometimes, or most of the times, it's a little uncomfortable. So this is Ezekiel about to start his mission, and the Lord is giving him a promise, and this is what he says in verse 8. He says, "But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are." As we go forward as men, husbands, fathers, grandfathers, friends, men of God, I want to tell you right now, we're going to have to be hard-headed in the Lord. Did you hear that? We're going to have to have a resolve in our lives, because what's facing us is an entire arena of opposition that wants us to be quiet. That wants us to just sit down and shut up and let the world go on its way. Sometimes even let the church go on its way. And he says, "I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house." And then he's just setting the stage for what he's about to send Ezekiel out to do. Now, hold your thought right there, and I want to read from you a short paragraph from Time magazine that just came out this last week. And this is what it says. Concerning the Department of Defense, or the military's response to this massacre on Fort Hood. How many of you remember when we had this Islamic or Muslim psychiatrist who went on a rampage out at Fort Hood? Okay, how many people did he kill? Do you remember? I think he killed 11. And then, yeah, I think there was actually 11 killed. But anyway, I'm going to read you this. Maybe more than that. I want to read you this. The military just issued their first report last week. It's an 86-page report on what happened out at Fort Hood. Now, this is very interesting. It says, John Lehman, John Lehman, a member of the 9/11 Commission and Navy Secretary during the Reagan administration, he was Secretary of the Navy during the Reagan administration, says a reluctance to cause offense by citing Hassan, the man's name was Hassan, by citing Hassan's view of his Muslim faith and the U.S. military's activities in Muslim countries as a possible trigger for his alleged rampage reflects a problem that has gotten worse in the 40 years since Lehman has spent in and around the U.S. military. I'm going to go on, just one more couple of sentences. The Pentagon's report is silent on Islamic extremism, and it, quote, shows how deeply entrenched the values of political correctness have become. He told Time on Tuesday, it's definitely getting worse and is now so ingrained that people no longer smirk when it happens. In other words, the military issued an 86-page report on the causes of this rampage and did not mention one time Islamic extremism or Islam, even in light of the fact that this man had been in constant contact. Now it's coming out. The truth is coming out. He was in constant contact with the man now who is the number one, or really number two, target for our anti-terrorist activities. He's a imam in Yemen. He used to be in the United States. And this imam was in contact with this major on and off, literally for months and months. Even attended his mosque at one time when it was in New Jersey or Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter. But anyway, it is astounding that because of the concern over the reaction of people to the truth, that the truth has been silenced. Okay? Now, this is just one incident. I want to read one more. I want to now take you to another issue. It says, also in the last few weeks, there was a 3-star general by the name of Benjamin Nixon. Believe it or not, when I was in the Army at Fort Bragg in 1976 through 81, this guy was there at the same time. He was just coming in at the same time, and his father was the command sergeant major of the 18th Airborne Corps. Well, now come to pass, this guy's a 3-star general, and he's in charge of the Army Pacific Command. In other words, all the Army activities in the Pacific. So this guy, how many of you have heard of Lieutenant General Nixon? He got in a lot of trouble a few weeks ago. Guess what he got into trouble over? What he got into trouble over? He wrote a letter to the editor to Stars and Stripes magazine, or newspaper, and he suggested that the Army or the Department of Defense's intention to disregard the what's called the don't ask, don't tell policy concerning homosexuals in the service. In other words, he said that this was not a good idea, and that he did not believe that most soldiers were in favor of it. And I guarantee you most soldiers are not in favor of it. But anyway, the big stink on all the newspapers and all the headline news in the news was about this guy. This is what it says. Defense Secretary Robert Gates sharply reprimanded the 3-star general who commands the U.S. Army in the Pacific on Thursday for publicly advocating against the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Talk, Tell laws restricting gays in the military. Admiral Mike Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, went further, suggesting that Lieutenant General Benjamin Nixon should consider resigning over the comments he made in a letter to the editor of the Stars and Stripes earlier this month. Now, this is the thing. This is the thing. Since then, I guess because of the uproar in the public and everything, they've come out and said publicly they're not going to ask him to resign and everything. But I can guarantee you his career is over. I guarantee it, his career is over. Because he had the audacity to take a stand and speak the truth. Now, this is a 30-plus year career that is over because he had the key word today is courage. He had the courage to speak the truth in the midst of an overwhelming avalanche of pressure not to do so. So, as I was... I've been contemplating this for some time, and there's a number of things going on in our church that are supportive of what I'm about to share with you. I had a dream last night, and I believe it was an absolute prophetic affirmation of what God is calling us to. Now, I won't go into all the other supporting information that I'm aware of that have come out of our prayer meetings, that have come out of our Sunday morning services or anything. But in my dream, and this was a clear dream. It was not, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was so vivid, I woke up. I woke up. I was wide awake after I had this. And what I saw was this entire army of horses. This like a whole army of horses moving out and ascending up. And I've had a lot of confirmations that lately. I believe that the army of God is being mobilized.
Yes.
I believe that the army of God is being mobilized. And this is the key point. The key point is in all throughout the scriptures. I read you from that book this morning. All throughout the scriptures, there is a challenge for us to go where God wants us to go and to take the territory that God wants us to take. And the biggest opposition to that, the biggest hindrance to that, believe it or not, is courage.
Come on. That's right.
I believe it is the secret ingredient, fathers, grandfathers, dads, men, for us to ensure a heritage that survives.
Yes.
Courage. That's what we need. We need courage. Now, this what I'm going to share with you in a few moments. And not only courage, but this is the thing. I believe the generation that we represent, whenever I say generation, I'm not talking about like those that are my age or Brother Booker's age. Whenever I say generation, I'm speaking of whomever is alive today. My grandson, who is 8 years old, is part of this generation. I consider him part of this generation. So it doesn't matter if you're breathing, you're part of this generation. So I believe one of the greatest challenges facing our generation is whether or not we will be men who speak the truth.
Yes.
Speak the truth regarding every issue that we're responsible to speak to. You know, we would think, now I'm looking at Josh and Caleb here and some of these other guys, we would think that in order to be successful and move on and move into the territory God wants us to take, that we might need a lot of things. We might need an education. We might need money. We might need influence and power. We might need the right connections with government or with industry or whatever. But I'm telling you this, what these young people need to be concerned about, I believe the greatest obstacle to their moving forward in God, in success in God, will be the courage that those who they hang around with, their dads, their grandpas, their friends, the courage that we impart to them. Amen? Now, I want you to go now. Now, I want to get into some of these scriptures that I think are very important. Now, it says here in the book of Numbers 11 and verse 28, check this out. This is a comment about Joshua. Joshua was Moses' aide, and we know we're going to talk about a little bit about his life, but I want to really zero in on some of the things that highlight the need for not only him, but for others and us as well concerning courage. And it says in Numbers 11:28, it says, Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said. Now this is the key right here. Joshua had been an aide to Moses since his youth. And this is what he did. He spoke up. Now in this case, he spoke up because there were men prophesying in the camp. And he says, Lord, do you want me to stop them? Or do you want me to stop them? And I won't get into Moses then prophesies. He prophesies about us in this room today. That's what he does. He says, I wish that all God's people would prophesy. And that's really the heart of God. But that's another story. But anyway, this key is Moses had an aide. In other words, every one of these young people in our church, your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, those we have people associated with our family who aren't even related except by friendship or acquaintance. I have someone I pray for every day. I pray for Patrick Hart, who is kind of an adopted son. You know, he comes to church every year once in a while. Well, there are people like that may not be blood relatives, but they are people who are hanging around us. And this is a great testimony. Joshua's testimony of his relationship with Moses. See, we always talk about the courage of Joshua and Caleb. Where do you think that came from? It came from Moses. It came from his association with the man of God, Moses. Yeah. Every one of these kids in our church, they're going to have an impartation of our courage. Right. Or, God forbid, our lack of courage. And I believe one of the greatest expressions of that courage as we go forward, it's not like in battle, it may be. It's not necessarily protecting them from the boogeyman. It is what we resolve in our hearts, when we resolve in our hearts to stand up and tell the truth about these many issues that they're going to be confronted with. It takes courage. It takes courage. It takes courage. Most people get into trouble not because they're stupid, not because they're overwhelmed with the pursuit of pleasure or these other character flaws. I believe more than we ever want to admit is these young people yield to temptations because they're afraid. Because they will not stand up in the midst of temptation and tell the truth. Come on. It could be on a one-to-one. It could be on a one-to-one relationship. It could be in a crowd. There's a great sociological study that came out in the 1950s by a guy named Dr. Sutherland. And he said the biggest, and it's right, he didn't realize it probably, but it's right out of the Bible. The biggest influence on the behavior of young people is who they hang around with. And why is that? Because they are afraid to resist the temptation or the demands of those people who are speaking into their lives. They want to be cool. They want to be accepted. And I'm telling you, we are approaching a time in our history where our young people, as following the example, as Joshua did, of Moses, following the example of whoever they hang around with, our young people are going to have to take a stand. They're going to have to just stand up and be just like when God spoke to Job, when Job finished all his ranting and raving and testifying, the Lord said, now stand up and act like a man. I'm going to talk to you like a man. And this is what our young people have got to get in their spirits. But they've got to follow the example of those around them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so Joshua's boldness was grounded in his speaking out against the prevailing opinions. You see, when that General Mixon stood up and he spoke against a tidal wave of prevailing opinion. I guarantee you, we live in an age, let me just say, we live in an age, I guarantee you right now, maybe some of you in this room, I hope not most of you in the room, I guarantee you, we live in an age right now, just concerning the issue of homosexuality. Most people today believe that homosexuality is a genetic, predetermined disposition that the person has no control over. Even though there's not one single shred of medical or scientific fact to support that.
Come on.
But I guarantee you, if you go into our high schools, if you go into our middle schools, if you go into our colleges, I guarantee you ask 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10 will tell you, of course, homosexuals can't determine who they are. They can't help it. That's just it's just a natural thing. I'm telling you, Joshua had to stand up in the midst of a prevailing tidal wave. Matter of fact, this is what he said. This is what Numbers 14 and 6. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire... Listen, they said to the entire Israelite assembly, can you imagine? Can you imagine coming into the church or coming into a community where you're associated with and you're having to stand up and say something contrary to what everybody believes? Everybody. Everybody. Everybody in your school may believe one thing and you may have to stand up and say, this is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. And this is what he said. He said, the land we pass through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into the land flowing with milk and honey, and He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. The whole assembly talked about stoning them. And this is the promise. But after he said that, it says, very the next sentence, it says, then the glory of the Lord appeared. You know, we always talk about glory. We always talk about the presence of the Lord. We want God to manifest Himself. Let me tell you something. What's waiting what's waiting for us on the other side of standing up and telling the truth is the glory of the Lord. Because God loves to rescue those who stand in the gap, who put themselves in the breach and speak for Him. But we got to do it by faith. We got to teach these young people to stand up and speak by faith. Okay, so now, this is it. Joshua's boldness, as I said, was grounded in speaking against the prevailing opinions, speaking against the conventional wisdom. Now, the challenge for the church and the challenge for all of us today is to speak the truth in love. We don't go out and say, okay, we never have the license to speak in a condemning, berating, belittling way. But most Christians today have taken that mandate to be their excuse for not speaking.
Come on. That's right.
That's just the way it is. That's just an easy cop out to say, well, who am I to judge? I can't be judgmental. I can't. So I'm going to talk to you about this boldness in speech. Now, this is the thing. Now, in Deuteronomy 31:6, it says concerning Joshua, Moses speaking to Joshua, be strong and of good courage, fear not or be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is it that goeth with thee. I'm reading from the King James, obviously. He will not fail thee or forsake thee. Now, in verse 7 of the same chapter, it says, and Moses called to Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and be of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. You see, it's always about going somewhere. It's always about going. Strength and courage in speaking for God is never done in a vacuum. It's always done in preparation or in positioning to go somewhere or to take us somewhere. The courage was necessary in order to take the people of God where they needed to go. And you see this theme all throughout Scriptures. God will have to say to these people, be strong, be of good courage, because you're going somewhere. Does that agree? That sound good? Okay, and I want you to go to the book of Acts real quick. As you're going over there, I did note something very interesting. In Paul's benediction in the first letter to the Corinthians at the end, the chapter 16, he says something that just right out of the middle of, it's almost like out of the middle of nowhere. This is what he says. I thought it was so interesting. He says in 16 and verse 13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, and be men of courage and strength. Be of courage and be men of courage and strength. Where'd that come from? You see, he also was aware of the need. Not only was he aware of the need for us to be strong and be courageous in our speech, in our confrontational speech, he had experienced that. He knew that listen, had he not taken... Matter of fact, if you look in the book of Acts, almost every time you see an introduction to them presenting the gospel, it always says they spoke boldly in the synagogue. They spoke boldly to the Jews. They spoke at the end of the book in Acts 28. It says that Paul continued to speak the word of God boldly when he was in his rented house or wherever. So anyway, it says right here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. You see, here's Joshua. Here's Joshua taking the Israelites into the promised land where they need to go. Not in a vacuum. He needed his courage for something. Well, let me just tell you something. Our church is going somewhere. That may be a surprise to some of you, but our church is going somewhere. I believe the horses are mounted. The army is ready. We're moving out in God. But I'm telling you, it's going to take courage to go where we need to go. It's going to take courage, men, to take your families where they need to go in these coming months, years, whatever. I don't know. But it's going to take courage on the part of all of us. And it's nothing new under the sun. Now think of this. Christ gave a mandate, obviously, in Matthew 28. But he gave another mandate in Acts chapter 1. And he says, you know, this gospel is going to be preached first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. That's the marching orders for... And he also, when he revealed himself to Paul, he told Paul that Paul would preach this gospel all over the place. So here's the marching orders of the church. Just ratchet back to the marching orders of the nation of Israel. Here they are. They're standing ready to cross the river. Ready to cross the Jordan River and go in to take the land. And one of the, I believe, if you look carefully at it, the greatest mandate or the most significant mandate that will result in the success of this taking of this new land is courage. It's courage. Courage, faith, and trust in God. So here they are. The church is getting started in the book of Acts. And we're in chapter 4. And they call Peter and they call John in to before the religious leaders. As, let me tell you something. This may sound off the chart to you, but I'm telling you, I believe it's an absolute soon coming experience for many people in the church, even in America. We will be told not to speak about certain things.
Right.
We will be told, instructed by some pressure from the government, not to speak of certain things, not to go in certain places, not certain scriptures will be viewed as hateful, as insightful. That's what they do in England right now. If you say certain things from the Bible, they say it's not insightful like enlightening. It's stirring up violence and stuff like that. So anyway, here they are. They call Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. And it's interesting what they say in verse 18. They call them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Not to speak or teach at all. Now, we don't have that. We don't have that obvious of a mandate from our government yet. I'm not sitting here. I don't live in a fantasy world. I tell you, I am telling you the truth. It is coming in our nation. I hate to say it. And in many places, it's already institutionalized.
Right.
There are certain things you can say, you can't say, certain emphasis you can make, you can't make. And it's all in the name of being tolerant and being politically correct. In other words, not hurting people's feelings. Let me just tell you something. You will never, ever be able to avoid this. Truth, especially truth in regard to the gospel and the identity of Jesus Christ, hurts people's feelings. People don't want to hear that He is the way, the truth, and the life. People don't want to hear that He is the only way to the Father. People want to hear that he is one way, that He was a prophet, that He was a religious man, one of many religious men. People want to hear that they're okay and they can find happiness and peace in life without a relationship to Jesus Christ. Hogwash.
That's right.
It's bunk. It's a fantasy. So anyway, it says, don't you speak of this Jesus anymore. And then, and this is what, of course, they leave that meeting and they go, and guess where they go?
Go pray and speak in His name.
They go to a prayer meeting. They go to a prayer meeting. They go to the prayer meeting where the saints of God are contending in the heavenly realms for the advancement of the gospel. They come... to CCC's call on the wall on Wednesday night. In spite of all the threats, in spite of all, they go to their people who are seeking the Lord. And this is what it says here. Now, Lord, verse 29 of chapter 4 in Acts. Chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word, what? With great boldness. That's what they prayed for. Don't you talk about Jesus. Don't you tell the truth about homosexuality. Don't you tell the truth about what happened in these terrorist attacks. Don't you dare say anything degrading about Islam. Can I just tell you what Islam is? Just get it on the tape. Islam is an Arabic tribal religion that was founded and birthed on caravan robbery and murder. That's all it was. Muhammad was a caravan robber. That's what he was. He was a very smart, very demon-possessed man. He was possessed to the hilt by demons. I mean, he built a religion based on the tip of a sharp sword.
That's right, man.
Amen. That's just what Islam is. I wish it weren't that way. You hear all these even politicians who I admire, God help them, they are so politically correct, worried about saying something truthful about Islam. Islam has never been a great religion. It's been a bloody religion that advances solely under the edge of a sword, and the name of it is submission. That's what it means. And if you don't submit, there's three things that can happen to a person who does not submit to Islam, or who encounters Islam. Number one, they convert to Islam.
Right.
Number one, that's their choice. They can convert to Islam. Number two, they cannot convert, and they can be a slave of Islam. That's just what the Quran teaches. And number three, the only other opportunity is they die.
Right.
You either convert, you are a slave, or you die. That's the history of Islam. So, we need people, and these are just a few issues. I just took two issues to show you that this is the world we live in where decisions are made, policies are made. And listen, unfortunately, lives will be lost over these kinds of decisions where people choose not to tell the truth about what's going on. So, after they prayed, it says in Acts 4 and verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You see, they got what they needed. What they needed was not another Bible lesson. What they needed was not money. What they needed was not a job. What they needed was courage to tell the truth about the kingdom of God. And that's what we need today. We need today. It's, you know, thank God, we have a pastor friend, a daughter church around the corner here, New Life Christian Fellowship. Pastor Joseph Tillman, pastor of the church. He just went to India, got back from India, and he was in Calcutta, and he was at a conference sponsored by Operation Mobilization. And the men that he spoke with, the pastor that he spoke with, which were called the elites, they were the untouchable people of India. They have no status. They are by their religion mandated to be persecuted. In other words, the caste system in India mandates that they be mistreated. That you have, in order to be a good Hindu, you have to treat these people terrible. They have no status. They're not allowed to get an education. You talk about prejudice. I'm telling you, we have prejudice in our nation. There is no question about it. We don't know what prejudice is until you go to some of these countries. I mean, they will go to jail if they put one of these kids in school. That's the kind of persecution they have. So anyway, he's ministering to these people. And a number of these pastors have just come from a province called Orissa. And literally the very week that they left and came over to the conference, some of their ministers were killed. They were martyred. They didn't even know if they were going to live when they went back. What did they need? They needed boldness.
Yeah.
They needed courage to speak the truth. Yeah. And I'm telling you, there's coming a day in our generation, in our lifetime, where I don't believe we'll ever experience that probably in my lifetime, but we will have occasions to need a whole bunch of courage in this country. So here it is. They spoke the word of God boldly. Later on, you see in the commissioning of Paul, I won't go there, all these scriptures, he went about to Jerusalem speaking the word of God boldly. Now this is what this boldly means. There's a number of different variations and definitions associated with the word boldly. But if you look at the word boldness or boldly throughout the New Testament, this is what it means. I want to read this definition to you. To be frank in utterance or confident in spirit and demeanor. You see, there's a difference between being presumptuous, being prideful, and being confident or bold in our utterances. We don't need to be demeaning or arrogant, but we do need to be confident. We need to be confident. Listen, young people, you're going into an arena here in our culture where it is going to be frowned upon to believe in anything except nothing. In other words, what will be exalted and celebrated is nothing. Believe in nothing. And I'll tell you something prophetically. There was a television show throughout the 90s, maybe in the 80s, but throughout the 90s. It was the most popular situation comedy. What is it?
Seinfeld.
And you know what the whole theme of the show was?
Nothing.
Nothing. It was a show about nothing. They're about nothing people living nothing lives, and they were celebrated. Is one of those nothing happens in a vacuum, by the way. It's a prophetic statement, and I'm telling you, our kids are going to be tempted to believe in nothing, because nothing is better than anything else. Nothing is more accurate than anything else, and that's the challenge that Paul faced when in preaching the gospel when he went to Mars Hill. The philosophers sat around in Athens and they talked about nothing. All the nothingness. Everybody had a theory about God. He says, you have gods for everything. And I'm going to tell you about the one true living God. And so anyway, that boldness means to be frank and confident. Later on in Romans 15, he says, I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because the grace God given me. The word boldly there means more daringly, with greater confidence than normally exhibited. There's another word in 2 Corinthians 3:12. It says, Paul says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. And you know what that word means? It's amazing to me. Whenever the word boldness or bold is used in the New Testament, it's almost always related not to how we live, not to fighting lions and tigers and bears. It's always related to what we say.
There's somewhere where Paul prayed and asked the church asked them to pray that he would have boldness.
Exactly
so
right.
It wasn't something that it was on him all the time.
Exactly. He needed prayer for that. And we you just closed out my meeting, brother. Perfect, man. Perfect. Praise God. You're right on target, man. Walking in the Spirit. It says that word there, boldness, means outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, publicly. Okay? It means publicly. It means in our public arenas, we have the courage to tell the truth. We have the courage to tell the truth. Now, let me just say this. Truth spoken outside of a connection with the Holy Spirit is bad news. You know what I'm saying? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is love. You know, if we're speaking out of bitterness, out of disappointment, out of the flesh, we can tell the truth. We can say what the truth is. But did you know the Pharisees knew the truth? But they didn't have the Spirit of God. They didn't have the love of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about something that is very dangerous. It's like radioactive material. Because the same word that can change someone from life to death can also point them to death. Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Right.
There is the letter. We have the letter of the law. It can kill if it's not delivered in the context of love. But then again, we can't use that as an excuse not to speak the Word. Okay? So, speak the Word in boldness. That's our challenge. It was the same challenge that Joshua had. It was the same challenge that confronted the early church. And the what's at stake is the future generations. What was at stake for Israel is somebody had been hanging around Moses who had the courage to tell the truth. Not many, with somebody. And so as we contemplate our future, our challenge is to speak the Word of God in love, but speak the Word of God. I'm going to leave you with one more point before we pray, and this is it. All of us are in positions of influence, and we speak into the lives of other people. All of us do. Whether it be our children, our friends, our extended family network, our associates at work, or whatever. I was contemplating a few weeks ago my own children. I have three children. I have a 27-year-old, I have a 25-year-old, and I have a 22-year-old. And I was contemplating their lives about the challenges that they're going to face when I'm gone in these next however many years the Lord allows me to be here. And I was thinking, what could I tell them? What could I tell them? And this is what I came to the conclusion. Understanding a given. Now, the given is that this is done under the canopy of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord. But this is what I would tell them, and this is what I would encourage you to tell those you're related to. That whatever faces them in the future, whatever faces us, I am absolutely convinced that if we cannot face the future in the context of what the Word of God says, we are lost. We are going to be so miserable. In other words, I'd like to give my kids advice about finances. I could give them some good advice about finances, about how to fix this, how to fix that, in their relationships, in their marriages. One of my children is married. In their parenting skills, and all that's good stuff, and they need to hear that. But I want to tell you, never before have I felt this so strongly. We cannot even consider the prospect of going forward without going forward in the context of the Word of God. The Word of God gives us perspective. It gives us an eternal perspective. It gives us answers. It gives us encouragement and hope. Everything that we could ever experience has already been experienced in God's Word, as far as in principle and stuff. So I wanted to leave you with that today. If you're not in the Word, get in the Word. I mean, start tomorrow, start today. If you're not in the Word, make it and the one thing you can do for your family, your kid, is demonstrate for them, just like Moses demonstrated for Joshua, demonstrate for them a consistent devotion to God's Word. Now let me just tell you this. That does not mean our children won't have seasons of wandering. Did you hear me? There is no perfect prescription for having kids who honor the Lord and are courageous in the Lord. But I guarantee you this. I will guarantee you this. The Word of God will not return void. For it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. So it doesn't matter. They will have a deposit in them, and they will have a seed growing in them that will eventually bear fruit. Amen. So this is what I'd like to do. To Mr. Copeland, hit the nail right on the head. I want to pray this morning, and I want us to pray for one another. I want you to find. I don't want you to get a group of three. I want you to find one other person before we leave here today. And I just believe, in impartation. I believe when we speak the Word of God, when we have a hunger to be who God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do, there's an honoring from heaven that He manifests by an impartation of Holy Spirit power. When they prayed for boldness in that room in Acts chapter 4, something happened. And I believe before we go home today, number one, if you had anything out of this meeting this morning, I want you to get the absolute necessity of being courageous in the Lord and standing for God in truth. And I want us to pray for one another. Every single person in this room can do it. You don't have to be an expert in prayer. And just ask God to impart today a spirit of courage and boldness for the future. Courage. That we'll go for not. I'm not talking about the courage that goes up, beats up the bullies. That may be necessary. Praise God. Sometimes it is, but courage to speak God's word, regardless of the threats, regardless of the environment, regardless of the the culture that we live in, that we will be men of truth and we'll speak the truth. Amen? I want to pray a general prayer for you, and then I want to ask you to pair up before you leave here today and ask God to give that impartation of courage, spiritual courage. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I thank You, Lord God. I thank You for every man in this room. I thank You for those who are not here for whatever reason and would have liked to have been here or forgot about the meeting. We thank You for the great attendance today. And I thank You, Lord God, for every person You've placed in our relational network, our children, our cousins, our fathers, our mothers, our friends, our acquaintances, our fellow employees, God. All the people in the network of relationships that You've given us. We thank You for that, God. But Lord, we need a component. We need a character component, God, in our lives. We need, Heavenly Father, a deposit of spiritual courage. And I pray, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray, Father, that as we have gathered here this morning and we listen to Your Word, that You would grant us our wish and You would impart to every man in this room today a spiritual steel, a spiritual backbone, Lord God, a courage that can only come from You, the courage that shakes foundations, the courage that moves mountains, the courage that stands up in the midst of the storm, the courage that says yes when everyone else says no, the courage that says Jesus Christ is Lord when others say there are many lords. Father, we pray for an impartation of that courage right now. Not for our soul benefit, Lord, but for our heritage, for those who hang around us, God, that they would know us as men of courage. And we would do what You challenged Job to do, and do what You challenged Solomon to do. We would quit ourselves like men. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what I want you to do is find a guy and a prayer partner before you leave here today. You can stay for a while, whatever, in fellowship, but I want you to find somebody and pray for them along those same lines. Thank you very much.